Father, we thank you for being in this place. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us. Thank you for always being with us. And even though we're not always sensitive to hearing you, it doesn't mean that you are not there. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing that is here to destroy the yoke, to destroy the bondages, to destroy the strongholds that is keeping the minds of the people captive. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, your compassion and your kindness that is in this place. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your restoration that is here. Father, I ask right now that every person that is here, that you would open up their hearts to receive what you have for them, that you would open up their spirits, that you would open up their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear what you have for them this morning. And Father, every limitation, every bird that is trying to come and steal or will try and come to steal the word from the people, Father, I pray that you would remove those right now. Father, for every person that is in this building that has a hardened heart, that has unforgiveness, Father, I pray that you would work with their heart right now, that you will begin a work and minister to them right now. Let them feel and experience you this morning. The love of you, your love right now, Father. Let them experience your forgiveness right now in this moment so that they can let go and so that their hearts can be softened and ready to receive from you. If you are here, just raise your hands and say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, right now I ask that you would forgive me for every bit of unforgiveness, every bit of doubt, every bit of fear, every bit of self-doubt that I have in my life, everywhere that I have doubted you. Forgive me, Father. And right now, Lord, I just want to say, I love you. And thank you for always being with me, Holy Spirit. Help me to be sensitive to your voice so that I can hear the voice of God speaking to me. Amen. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, I just want you to give God your greatest shout of praise. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. You're not shouting for the Springboks. You're shouting to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross for you so you can be set free, so that you can be delivered. Amen. I hope you guys are ready. I hope that the burdens of life is not weighing you down. If the burdens of life is weighing you down, I want you to listen to the message today. I want you to, if you don't have a notebook and a pen, I want you to take your phone and make notes. How can we hear the voice of God if we are not hearing? The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not faith comes by listening. A lot of people listen to the word of God through a sermon, through somebody else speaking, through them even reading the word, but they are not hearing what God is saying. They are only listening. And that is why change does not take place in a lot of people's lives. So this morning, even if life isn't weighing you down, which is amazing, and that's how our life should be, I want you to take notes. I want you to listen to what I'm going to teach you this morning, or just share with you this morning, because you know people that life is weighing them down. And when you have knowledge, you are able to share that knowledge. How can you minister to somebody if you've got nothing to say to them? And a lot of people think, I'm not able, I'm not capable to reach somebody else. The reason why you feel that way is because you are not confident in what to share. You're not confident in the Word of God. You do not have the faith, and the faith of God comes by hearing. You don't have boldness or confidence, because that comes by knowledge, by knowing, and by hearing the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you're excited to be here, just give God another shout of praise. You're not praising me. You're not shouting for me. You're shouting for the most amazing, amazing God ever. Amen. Amen. Before I say anything, I just want to say how much I really, 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 really love my best friend. All of you think I was going to say my husband. That's not what I was going to say. The Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, as most of you know, that you guys can sit, thank you. As most of you know, God's voice is the Holy Spirit that also speaks to us. God's voice is through the Word. But I love Him, and I was thinking about Him all the time. But yesterday, I was just thinking how so often we, I don't want to say neglect the Holy Spirit, but we kind of like get on with the busyness of life. And we don't really pay attention to Him. We don't really speak much to Him. But then we end up feeling guilty, or we end up feeling bad, or we think that God is now judging us. But no, He's so amazing. Where just open your mouth and then begin to speak to Him, and you'll see how He'll come through for you. Where on Tuesday, when we were on Faith TV, beforehand, I said to the guys, everybody that was there, or the four of us, I was like, guys, please don't make me talk. I'm not ready to talk. I don't really have much to say. And I was feeling nervous and I was feeling scared. And then I realized to myself, but I hadn't spoken to the Holy Spirit that day. I hadn't asked Him to help me. I hadn't asked Him to what to say. So literally like 2 minutes before we had to start, I said to Him, and I wasn't even preaching, so why am I feeling the pressure? You know, I didn't even have to really bring a word, but I still felt nervous because I still had to say something. So literally 2 minutes before we were about to start, I had that thought, and then all I could just say is, Holy Spirit, help me. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be ordered of You. I couldn't even finish my sentence. Usually we try and have this long conversation in the physical words or in the natural words. I couldn't even finish that because then something happened and we either started or I can't remember what happened. But what's amazing is that even though I was stressing the whole day, and if you do not stand up here and preach, you won't understand this kind of stress. The e-group leaders feel it to a degree, but and the reason why we feel the stress or the pressure is because we have a responsibility, and we're going to be judged according to what we teach and what we say. So that's why we'll feel nervous. We are human just as much as what we are spiritual beings. So we have the human side of us that feels the things that we do. So what ended up happening is, for those of you who watched, you ended up seeing that everything that I did say was so in line with what Prophet was saying. And I had a lot of people that messaged me afterwards and say, you know, what you shared there really set me free. It really changed my mindset. And all I could just say is, I always do this, but I can only give glory and honor to the Holy Spirit, because He's the one who led me to say those things. Now, I said this to you guys last time when I preached, I said that one of the tricks for me, not tricks, but one of the things that I do in being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is when I have a thought or a feeling or an impression, I do it. Because I'd rather be wrong in trying than being wrong in not trying, and that was actually Him speaking. And because of doing that and practicing that, I don't just have faith, I don't just hear, but I practice what I say, or I practice my faith. I practice what I hear. So because of doing those things and answering on the things that he said, the thoughts or suggestions or impressions, therefore I've learned to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've learned to recognize his voice. So for those of you who didn't hear what I said that time, take note of this, because for me it is something that really helped, is that a lot of people will say, something told me to do this, or something told me to do that, but you don't recognize that's actually God's voice. So a lot of people see something as God, yet he is God. So when God says it to you, or that something that you feel, rather listen to that. If you feel I should phone this person and say this, or if you feel you should take that person out and do this, or pay this, or do that, or whatever for somebody else, do it. Because rather be obedient than to be disobedient. Rather be obedient and be wrong, if you understand, if in case it wasn't, you know, the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you, or God leading you, than to be wrong and not doing it, and it was his voice. Amen? So, apart from saying that, I obviously love my husband and I want to honor him. You know, he is he. A lot of people don't know him the way that some of us do, which is fine. We can't expect all of you to. But he kind of threw me in the deep end with this morning. So you're going to have grace on me. And just be with me, because he only asked me like very late last night to take the service. And just because he's just got some things that he's busy with. But that's why I'm there. We're there to grow. And each one of us should be growing all the time. If you find your place where you are in the same place for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, with no real significant growth or change, then you need to relook at your life. But I'm going to get into some things tonight. I'm going to be here tonight as well. And I'm going to get into some powerful things tonight that I want to share with you on hearing God's voice. What is the enemy's voice and what is our voice? Because a lot of people know that God's voice is the Holy Spirit that leads us, and it's through the word. And a lot of people know that Satan's voice is the strongholds and the suggestions that he comes. But people don't really know or understand what is their voice. So I'm going to get into that tonight. But this morning, I want us to just quickly go to 1 Kings 17. We all know the scripture very well. And I'm just going to go how we go. We don't have a lot of time because I have to go to the other service as well. But I just want to read this. So 1 Kings 17. And I'm going to read from verse 1 just very quickly. The portion that I want to focus on is more verse 8. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 up until 16. But I want to read the beforehand as well, just to give you a little bit of a something, just a little bit extra. So 1 Kings 17, verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of the Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed in the brook of Cherith, and which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." So before I go into the rest, I just want to share this. So all of you know that no rain had to come. So, but Elijah was obedient to God. He was a servant of God. So God directed every step to make sure to take care of him, to make sure that he's blessed, to make sure that his brook doesn't dry up. Where other people's brook dried up, Elijah's didn't. God gave him a direction to where to go. And as some of you might have heard before, God told the ravens, or commanded the ravens, to give him food. And there was a brook that he could drink from, water that he could drink from, even though there was no rain. But if, for those of you who don't know, ravens are the most selfish birds that you can get. So the fact that God could command the ravens to come and give him food and not take it for themselves is a testimony in itself. Then the verses say that when the brook dried out, so there comes a time in your life where a season dries up. Where the season of your life, a lot of people want to hold on to something, but God has dried up your resources in that season, or your provision in that season, because he has something more for you. But the problem is that we cannot hear his voice to direct us as to where to go next. So therefore, he cannot send us to the new place. So we try and hold on to a season. We try and hold on to certain people or individuals in our lives. Those people and that season is in dryness. It is where there's no rain, there's no abundance, there's no blessing. But it's that way because you cannot hear where God is directing you to go. So as soon as the brook dried up for Elijah there, God had then said to him, so let's read from verse 8. And it happened after a... Sorry, let me read from here. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zephira, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow... Let me just see where... Oh, okay, I'm going to read from here. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zephira. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So before I go any further, I want to say, she said, gathering a couple of sticks. So obviously, if she uses sticks, I would assume it's to make the fire to be able to prepare the bread. So even her gathering of sticks, a couple of sticks, her mindset and her thinking was small. She couldn't even have a big fire to make. Now, obviously, the fire might have been too big and burnt the bread, but that's not the point that I'm trying to get across. She could have gathered more sticks and had in abundance, but she only gathered a couple. So her mindset was already failure. Her mindset was already, it's over. So basically what God did there was he spoke to Elijah and he had told Elijah what to do. So in sense towards her, God was sending Elijah to go do a funeral. Because to her, she was going to eat and die. Verse number 13. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Elijah had just pronounced that to Ahab that there would be no rain except for by his word. Like I said, God then provided for Elijah. So sometimes, like I said, when our season or our brook has run dry, we want to hold on to the familiarities of life. We're too scared to step out in faith and do what God has for us. We're too scared for change. Now, don't change if God hasn't told you to change. Don't make your brook dry up yourself. You know, but when God dries up your brook, go with him. Amen. God never wants us to be comfortable in an area where we're not willing to change and where we are depending on our own strength. So when we cannot go with the changes of God, we're showing God that we're doing it in our own strength. When we try and do things out of the will of God, we're doing it in our own strength. Elijah saw the power of God working when the ravens fed him and when he had the brook. And I spoke about the crows and how they're the most stingy birds. But the brook had dried up then, and then Elijah had to go to the next place. At the point where Elijah's brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming to feed him, a lot of people give up there. They don't move to the next thing that God has for them. You know, we need to learn to have the tenacity of a bulldog. For those of you who know a bulldog, bulldogs, when they attach to something, you can shake all you want, but they will not let go. You can kick and you can slap all you want. They will not let go. So when you have the promises of God that has been given to you, you need to have that tenacity like a bulldog and grip onto those promises of God. And no matter what shaking comes, no matter what fighting or attack or slap or kick or whatever comes your way, you need to grip onto the promises of God. Amen. So when Elijah saw the change, his trust was in God. He listened to God. He knew the voice of God. He knew where to go. When you lose your job, as long as you can hear the voice of God, you can say, "O fear, where are you? O death, where is your sting?" When you know and recognize the voice of God, it doesn't matter what happens to you. In every situation we face in life, if we can only hear God's voice, we would have the most perfect peace. Amen? So God tells Elijah to go to Zephirah, but note what he also said. He said, "I have commanded the widow to feed you." But when Elijah gets there, he sees the widow, but she looks sad. She looks depressed. She looks defeated. But yet God said to Elijah, "I have commanded the widow to feed you." The problem is that she didn't hear God command her. She didn't hear God speak. God told Elijah, "I commanded her," but she never heard it. She never knew that her salvation and her deliverance was on the way. Again, God commanded, but she didn't hear it. This is a big problem in the body of Christ. God is speaking to many, but they do not hear. Like I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, not just listening. If you can't hear God, you may die in your situation. To hear God is deliverance. If you are in the church and you don't hear God, you are only in religion. But when we do hear God, We can live in true worship. So I want to just get into three blockages this morning, according to what the woman did, that blocks you from hearing the voice of God. So in 1 Kings 17 verse 12, it says, "So she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, but a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die.'" If you notice there, you'll see this. A lot of times she's saying, "I, my, we." Nothing about God said this, God said that, yet God had commanded her according to what he told Elijah. So your first blockage in hearing God's voice is self-centeredness. People who are self-centered can never hear God's voice. I just want to read something for you quickly. People who are self-centered can never hear from God. And the blessing only comes when we can hear and then obey. Write this down. In Luke 6 verse 46 to 49. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and who said the who laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it is founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who is built on a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat and immediately it fell, and the ruins of the house was great." So when you cannot hear the voice of God, your house will, everything will fall apart in your life. But you cannot hear God's voice when you are so self-centered, when you are focusing on your problems. This woman was so absorbed with her life, her son's life, probably what had happened in her past, because if she's a widow, she'd obviously lost her husband, and she's probably faced so much other sufferings. If she's at the point of where she literally is about to die and ready to die, she was so focused on herself, on her son, on her circumstances, on her lack of food, that it would have eventually led to her funeral. Self-centeredness can kill you. And I think there's a lot of us that fall guilty in this area, where it's easy for us to focus on ourselves. It's easy for us to worry about ourselves, worry about our circumstances, about our families going on. But the thing is you cannot hear God's voice in that place. Because then what you hear will be driven by your fear. It'll be driven by your circumstances. It'll be driven by your doubts. Like I said, self-centeredness can kill you. The opposite of love, and we all know the most important thing in our life is love. For those of you who didn't listen to Prophet's teachings last week, Sunday morning and Sunday night, I want to encourage you to go listen, especially Sunday night. It will set you free. What you think is sin is not sin. The life that you've been living, the condemnation that you've been having on yourself is not valid. Go listen to that message and you'll understand. So the opposite of love is self. Love means to pour out yourself to others, to continually give out. Everything about God is to give out. Having a giving character is having a Christ-like character. Okay, so blockage number two, spiritual blindness, focusing on the natural circumstances. So the first blockage was self-centeredness. The second one is she had spiritual blindness. She was focusing on her natural circumstances. She said, "I do not have bread, only a handful of flour and a little oil. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks." The thing is that what I also took from there is that she wasn't prepared. She didn't only not hear God's voice or God speaking to her, she wasn't prepared. God tells us to be prepared in and out of season. Not just for us as preachers having to preach on a pulpit. We always say to each other, you know, that we have to be prepared in and out of season. But she wasn't prepared. She wasn't ready for the man of God that was coming. Her eyes saw only what she had. Her eyes were on the natural. She saw flour. She saw oil. She saw her situation. If your eyes and your perceptions are only on what you see physically, you are not able to hear God, because the things that you see will hinder you, especially when the circumstances speak contrary to the promises that you've received. She could neither see nor hear God. Her ears and her eyes was definitely not focused on God. She only saw the circumstances. She didn't see the Lord. Many of us are facing this. Many of us are in this situation. And you think to yourself, but why can't I be like that person? Why can't I have faith like them? Why can't I have a testimony like them? Why can't I have a blessing like them? Those people have that because their eyes and their ears are fixed upon Him, upon Jesus, upon God, the way, the truth, and the life. You need to see God in your situation. I know it gets difficult, or I know it is difficult. We've all been there. You need to see God in your finances. See Him in your health. No matter what the doctors say, no matter what your bank account says, no matter what people say about you, see God in every situation. Seek Him and you will find Him. As long as you can see Jesus, then you can hear God's answers for you. So the third blockage is losing all your hope in God. The third problem that the widow had when she said that I may eat it and die. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The way he does that is by removing your hope. When he removes your hope, he removes your life. That is why, you know, we say, if we can give you hope, we can give you life. The very reason that Jesus came was to give you hope, to give you life. This Bible is filled with life. Filled with it. In Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, I'm going to read it from here. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I'm just going to read it the way that I read it. Hope put off to a later time, or hope postponed, makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Amen. This woman lost her hope. The fragile hope that was burning bright was quenched by her self-centeredness. For you to have hope, or you first have hope and then you have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have hope, you won't have faith. If you have hope, faith will develop and come. Faith comes by hearing, as I said, and hearing the Word of God, not just listening, but actually hearing and doing the Word of God. Believing in God's Word is what will give you the hope to conquer every situation that you're facing. Amen? So what is the solution? In verse 13 it says, "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Make me the small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son.'" Most people will read this verse and think that Elijah was selfish, that he was so focused on himself. But that's not the case. He knew what the outcome was going to be. He was teaching her a principle. The woman was self-centered, so God had to God has to make her act against her self-centeredness, to serve others before herself. God was causing her to concentrate, or to be concerned, not concentrate, sorry, to be concerned for somebody else's life, not just her own. A lot of times, I say this all the time, how I overcame a lot of things in my life was I contradicted the feelings or the thoughts that I had. So if I would feel I'm not capable, I'm not prepared, I'm not able, I'm not worthy, I'm not eloquent enough to be able to preach, for example, I would contradict it. I would get up on the pulpit, no matter how scared I feel, no matter how, to be honest, I'm not really scared of you. I'm really not scared of you. I respect you and I want to do the best in my ability to portray what God has to say. So I honor you in that sense and I respect you in that sense, but I don't fear you. I fear God. So not feeling worthy is thinking, God, am I going to represent you right? Am I going to do you justice? For me, that is what I feel. But what I do, my point is that the moments I feel something, the moments I don't feel like forgiving, or the moment that I don't feel like responding to a situation instead of reacting, I do the complete opposite. So that is what, God was trying to teach her. Everything within her cried no, because to her, she was about to die. She didn't see what God had for her. She didn't hear what God had for her from God. She had to scrap together a little bit of trust. I won't even say faith, but she had to trust in Elijah a little bit to think, okay, let me just try one last effort before I go. And it ended up working. In the same situation, the Bible tells us in verse 15, she went away and did according to Elijah. Many of us don't do what God has told us to do. We want to follow the instructions because this is not just an inspirational book. It is an instruction manual, one of the things. But we don't want to follow the instructions. We want to follow it according to what we want to do. We don't want to follow it according to how God has said. But she followed the instructions and God provided. How did she feel with her natural circumstances? She acted the contrary to her natural. Faith is an act. So like I said before, you can't just hear, you need to do as well. You need to put your faith into action. Sometimes when we are in that situation, God requires our faith to act out. So this woman took the flour, she took the oil, and had to act against the situation. God wants us to act against the circumstances, to act in faith. God demands that we give Him an act of faith to demonstrate our faith before He moves on our behalf. I'm going to read it again. God demands that we give Him an act of faith to demonstrate our faith before He moves on our behalf. So she had to step out and act on the instruction that was given. Act against the natural, like Peter did when he walked on the water. To walk on the water is not natural. But when you act against it with the word of God, you will come up victorious. Amen. I'm nearly done. And lastly, when she had no hope, you know where she got her faith and hope from? Verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. Elijah gave her the word of the Lord. Many times we miss what God has to say for us because we're so focused on who's talking. Now, definitely, we always say, don't just go to any minister. Don't just go anywhere. Make sure that you stay in your DNA. Make sure that you stay from your source. Otherwise, confusion comes in. It's not to control. We just want to help you not be confused. We'll never tell you you can't do something. We'll just advise you because we're looking out for you. Amen? But Elijah gave her the word of the Lord. Verse 15 said, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. She was then obedient and followed the instruction. The moment of obedience to the word of God brought her breakthrough. This would have taken place sooner if she had listened to God's voice first. Now I want to end off with something that I just want to say. So if you go after verse 16 and you go to verse 17, I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I do have time, but I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you. So we see that this woman had her breakthrough. We see that she and Elijah was provided for, and they had enough to eat, they had enough to drink in this dry season. The problem is what, and this happens with a lot of us. A lot of us, we receive a breakthrough, we receive a blessing from God, and we think that is it. I'm no longer going to face anything else. But with her, if you read from verse 17 to 24, you see that her son then ended up dying. He became sick and then he ended up dying. So she went to Elijah and like, you know, have you come to, you know, judge me for my sins? Or, and she showed him her son that had died. So now, but God had just come through. But now her son is dying. So we know that Elijah took the boy, took him upstairs to the upper room, laid him on his bed, laid on his body three times, said to God, you know, raise him from the dead. He ended up being raised from the dead and was taken down to the mother and obviously given to him. And when he had given her son to her, she said, then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the words of the Lord in your mouth is true. So what happens with a lot of us is a lot of us get touched by God, but we are not changed. So she was touched by God through him providing for her in that sense, but she wasn't changed, because had her son become sick before he could even die, she could have had the faith to get him healed. She could have, apart just from her, she could have taught him how to have faith, how to trust God for my miracle, trust God for my healing. So not just for herself, but she didn't teach him either. So she was touched by the provision of God in the sense of her flour not drying up and her oil not drying up. But she wasn't changed. And the reason why she wasn't changed is because she didn't have the faith. She was hearing what was going on. She was experiencing what was going on. But she wasn't living what was going on. So that's why many of us experience and go through what we feel is up and down, then we have a breakthrough, then we don't. Then we get a breakthrough, then we don't. Now we all know we have to face certain things in life just for preparations and stuff, but think to yourself, are you somebody who has been touched by God but not truly changed? Tonight, I'm going to get into a scripture to tell you why you are not truly changed, why you doubt, or doubt comes back, or fear comes back. But that's for tonight, because I have to get to the other service. But I just want to encourage you before I go, don't miss tonight. If you come into church only for prophets, then he will say to you that you are coming for a man and you're anyway not going to hear. I know a lot of people don't like going to church in the evening as well. And that's fine. That's your preference. But don't judge other people or expect the same growth as other people who do come for more services, who are involved in an e-group, who are discipling or being discipled, going out, doing the work of God. Only a little bit of guilt there. So I just want to encourage you that if to hear God's voice, you need to be sensitive to what He's saying. Really, whatever, I do not want to get into what I have to teach tonight because I'm very excited. I've already preached to everybody that's what I do. I always share what I have to preach with others because then it goes deeper into my spirit. But being sensitive to God's voice will save you from a lot. Hearing God's voice will save you from a lot of troubles. It'll save you from a lot of disappointments. It'll save you from a lot of heartache if you can just learn to be sensitive to God's voice. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's everybody stand up. You can raise your hands for me. Close your eyes. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being with us. Help me to be sensitive to your voice, to hear what you have for me, to follow the directions that you give me, to follow the instructions that you give me. Father, make me your vessel that you can use for your glory. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's just give God a shout of praise. Let's give Him honor. This is not even a situation to give honor where honor is due. Because God deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for our lives. If you are still joining us online, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you guys tonight at 5:00. Have a great day, everybody.